Welcome back to the Bitter Truth Podcast. We're here. We're a queer Survivor Superfan podcast talking today, Survivor 46, episode 5. I'm Sam Stanish. Happy Easter. Happy Trans Day of Visibility. Happy Sunday, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe even later if you're listening to this, sometime after the next episode premieres. Maybe people do that. Anyway, with me as always, my wonderful, beautiful, fantastic, smart, talented, creative, done with compliments co-hosts, Derek Reining and Christine Palin.
How funny would it have been if you only said one of our names after that?
Oh!
And someone else, Christine.
She's here too.
If you're looking anywhere, if you didn't just blindly click on this, you might have seen there's another name in the title of the episode. We're not alone. Joined today by the star of Survivor 42 and Squid Game and Twitter. It's Zach Wurtenberger. Oh, in the first episode of Big Brother 25, Zach Wurtenberger.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I listened to you guys with Owen, and I made sure to get my my three gay references. Mm-hmm. So anytime you need to check those.
Great. Actually, wait. Let's see. Let's hear those right now.
I've got Claire Raphson.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
She counts for two. So.
I was actually, if you remember, Jackson Fox.
Yeah.
My good friend from my episode, our episode, actually.
Sworn brothers.
Jackson will absolutely vouch for me. And then through my brother, I've been able to connect with an incredible woman named Izzy Glacier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's that. You could have just given that one and we would have been like, bouncer, you're in.
Yeah.
You referenced Lydia pre-pod as well. You come well recommended.
Lydia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Can straight men be fruit flies? I feel like you are kind of in that zone, you know?
I think it comes with being part of the Survivor community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially new era. Maybe not back in like the South Pacific days.
It was almost the opposite, I would say. Probably, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did South Pacific have any LGBT representation?
Does Sophie count?
Some icons, but
no one's coming to mind. Maybe we're forgetting someone.
Oh, Papa Bear! Papa Bear!
Oh, duh!
Oh, Papa Bear! Oh, yeah, duh!
Yeah.
My people! I'm so sorry.
gay people don't seek themselves on TV. They look for fierce women, and so we kind of forget our forebears.
Forebears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The four bears that have been on Survivor.
I feel like in recent new era, like the bear like to like twink ratio has been like a little better. I mean, we have Jam Jam as a winner.
Yeah, I do think the ratio is still way off. It's still twinks on the island.
That's fair. I know. It's like for every Jam Jam, there's a high. Yeah,
and a Romeo.
Yes,
on the same season.
Yeah. Well, what would Banu be considered? Does he not fit into a archetype?
He's kind of jock, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like too. He's not like I don't know, stick like tiny. I guess to be he like has muscles.
He could be like a retired twink. I haven't seen him when he was in his like younger days. He could be a retired twink potentially, but I don't know where he'd fit in now.
I don't think I would take that
as a compliment. I can't imagine.
Well, twink is something you do age out of.
Yes.
Like you by definition you age out of it.
Right.
But you'd want to graduate to something new, I'd imagine, versus being like remembered by what you used to be.
Sure.
That's fair.
That's how locals tell you where to go.
It's I can't even know the intricacies of it all. It's like hard. It's we could go on and on about it, you know.
Yeah. That episode of Happy Endings where Max like comes up with his own
I'm a flamingo or whatever. Like mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. Very
Happy
true
endings. That's a deep cut. It's a
not
great
for
show.
Me. It's that's yeah. That's less
it's always
skin
top
deep
of mind for Sam. Yeah.
That's the top of the iceberg for sure. At least on our little pod.
Okay.
So Zach,
we got
a quote.
Everyone calm down.
Well, I was gonna start. We got a question asking what you've been up to lately, and that feels like that is a good first question to ask. Came to us from Tidy-Hunter's Bed at Survivor Trails on Twitter. Aside from grifting on Twitter, what else is keeping you busy?
Oh,
I got that. I saw that question. I was like, how do I grift? If I'm grifting, where's the money?
Mm-hmm.
When is the money coming in? I'm not verified. I don't have Twitter blue. Like, I could really be profiting. Like, if I wanted to start pulling some of those tweets out that are like, name a survivor that starts with the same letter as your first name and get like 6,000 replies for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing that. I'm working. I work at a talent agency now. So, you know, that's been a lot of work. That's been why I've definitely been a little bit more removed from the Survivor community recently, just from sheer work. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I live in LA now. It's been awesome. Love it here. Still enjoying Survivor. Still, you know, having fun with shit like this. So yeah, that's been me.
Our listeners will not see it, but because when we did Stan and I, you had like just moved into this apartment, I remember.
Yeah.
And now I get to see it like put together. Oh. So it's like we've been on quite the journey together, but no one will see it except for us.
Yeah, that was, I think, literally June, right? Mm-hmm. So I would have been less than a month in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I can't wait to see how it changes for insert name of next rewatch pod.
Yeah.
We'll which see. We have a very awful name for a potential one that I can't wait for people to hear.
We can't reveal too soon. No. Zach, what are you thinking about Survivor 46? Is it the most boring thing in the world? Is it the best thing you've ever seen? Those are the only two options.
It was the most boring thing in the world, and now it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
Growth arc.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would you say starting with this episode, or when did that shift happen?
No, I think that before this episode, it had been a generally subpar season. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like I'm always someone who I think like bad survivors still better than a lot of things on TV. Like it takes an island of the idols to be like truly atrocious. So even though it was like a little bit boring, a little bit snoozy, I was still enjoying it. The fact that we were getting the same tribe going all four episodes, and the fact that there hadn't been a single like shocking boot the entire season, I think was really like dragging it down. Like even last season, right, when we had the Lulu tribe losing every single challenge, at the very least there, like that Sabaya boot was shocking. For me, at least the Hannah boot was shocking. There was some real intrigue on if it was going to be Brandon versus Emily. Whereas this season it's been, you know, it was obviously Jelinski, then it was obviously Chess, then it was obviously Banu, then it was obviously Banu again. But this episode, it wasn't. This episode was new and exciting and I really enjoyed it.
I think another thing that helped 45 is that after the third episode, they swapped. So, like, obviously the Lulu tribe was bad, and they, like, lost three challenges in a row. But, like, it was cut off. Suddenly, then we were lost in the new dynamics of the new tribes and off to the races. I think I'm confused why we didn't do another swap. But we didn't merge next week.
Which is, like, yeah, I don't get that. And they're merging. At 13 in heavy air quotes, right? That's the vibe.
So it looks like we're probably going to have the mergatory boot, and then probably one more person will be not on the jury.
At the split. Presumably another split tribal thing, which again, why are we doing that?
Well, we'll see. Maybe they changed it. Anything's possible.
I know. No.
Something's
not on Survivor.
Unfortunately.
That's it. Yeah. That's been like, when was the first time that they did that? Because I feel like that's something that is always in the new era, but I feel like that's
like
started early.
I mean, the first time, like, you mean like just splitting up post merge,
like a merge, yeah, like post. I remember Ghost Island.
Yeah, it definitely happened in Ghost Island.
I mean, well, the bottle twist from Fiji, right? But that was like a one-off. That wasn't like a new pattern. Yeah. So I feel like you could say it was probably started, like Ghost Island was when they're like, oh, we can like always do this, or like we could keep doing this more.
Or I think like Ghost Island was, oh yeah.
Yeah. Or like, I guess, I don't know. I was going to say like from when, from Game Changers, when they did the like, brought people like two tribes together, like, which I'm surprised they haven't gone back to that. Like, are they that traumatized from Malcolm going that they're like, we're never doing that again?
They did it again in Edge of Extinction.
Oh yeah. So it's like, yeah. why not like switch it up a little and do that? Well, like,
I don't know. That to me, by the way, if we're going to like talk about like, you know, why we hate Survivor, what to fix about Survivor. That's what I think would be super interesting for a show that my biggest criticism is that it's gotten too samey and each season follows the same trend. I love the idea of one season is two tribes, then three tribes. One season has a swap. One season doesn't have a swap. One season does the split tribal. The next season does the pre-merge, like two groups together. I love that, like in kind of like a Mario Party style, like there are certain bonus stars that can come in and you don't know what they're going to be until the end.
You're not like picking the same Mario Kart course every time. Like you want to switch it up and do something new every time. I feel like that's basic television production.
And something so bizarre about the not having the swap this time is that like this was back-to-back seasons. So it was going to be surprising to this season still if there was a swap. It's not like, you know, I see the argument if you are like, you know, if they did one last, like the last season, don't do it now. But it's like, they don't know that. And so there was still like the potential of like, we would get two like really, oh, we weren't expecting this reactions, which seems like what Jeff like likes a lot. He likes to surprise the players it's very odd that they didn't do it. But yeah, what's done is done.
What's not has been done has not has been done.
Yeah.
Let it be. Easter.
Let it be.
I just feel like, maybe they thought Yanu going a bunch was like more compelling than it is. Like, I feel like that's maybe they're like, let's not swap.
Jeff seemed excited about the record. Well, we can get into the records of it all, of like making everything be a caveat in the new era. Is like, I don't know, what do you think, really feel about that as being a new era contestant? The fact that like Jeff is like keeping this you is guys the most, so like, separate.
Of the new era, yeah. I think you kind of have to do it from the perspective of like day counts and stuff, like because statistics are completely shot unless you kind of isolate us as our own thing. I mean, like, how many times does Marianne have to make the final two or the final three to hit 100 days, right? Like 5 seasons in a row?
And
I guess
will.
4 seasons in a row have to do it. But I did catch that. I'd be curious to know, like, in terms of the not having Flint, I don't know why he said that, because any other tribe would have gotten their Flint after they went to the first tribal council pre-New Era. So he could have just said, this is the longest that a tribe has ever gone without their Flint.
Yeah, it's like, I don't get it. It feels like he's just trying to have something to say, almost, like... Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, they have a fact check. I know he said before they have people who like check on the records and like keep track of stuff, so
didn't
it's like
they fucked that up last season.
Yeah, but yeah, it's then like I don't think they're
didn't they job. Didn't I mean, I think in All Stars they didn't give them food or Flint or something for a long time, so that might be affecting them on these records. My thing is, you can try to make these new things a thing, like, this is the longest something's happened in the new era, but it's just very funny to me to do it in an episode where there's another challenge where they like, these are all the seasons past, like these are the old seasons, and like, remember this, remember Boston Rob, and it's like, I do, which is why I am confused why we're like the most losingest tribe in the new era, Oolong. Nobody cares about Oolong,
like whoever that is.
Yeah, I looked it up, and in All Stars, Saboga gave up their reward, half their rewards, so the other two tribes could get their Flint on day 6. So this is like, where are we now?
This is day, like
day 3.
This is day, yeah. I think this was day 10, they said. So
yeah, so it's still, it should. Yeah, this would have been day 10 or day 11. Who knows? Look, Jeff,
last season, Jeff said that a man had never won a challenge, and they had. So, like, he doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah. Silly. he just wanted to give Bruce something. I don't begrudge him that, you know.
I think that Jeff Probst has given Bruce a lot.
Yes, he has.
Like, I think that Bruce, if we're talking about like players that Jeff has given the most to,
second chance.
I love the idea of like all these new era players. Now that it's like been established that like on the On Fire podcast, Jeff can just announce that you're coming back. The players who were like super into it, listening every single week, being like, is this my chance? Is it coming up?
From on high, the word will come just randomly, like, Manu, get in here. Come on. So there was, I guess, speaking of, you know, the star of the season so far, it's like, how do we feel in a Banu-less world?
I missed him.
I don't think I missed him. Not in the sense of like, I did enjoy him on the show. I'm not like a Banu hater or anything. Yeah. I think that he certainly brought a lot of entertainment, but I think we got the entertainment, right? And unless the story was going to shift in a new way, kind of like what we saw with Emily last season, that I would have been super down for. It did not seem like that was going to be the case, especially without a swap, right? Like, we could have seen a swap, Banu's on a new tribe, all of a sudden, like, life has been breathed back into his game. But without that, I'm good to kind of, like, now get to see the other tribes, especially the Siga tribe, now that we've actually seen them do something, which was very exciting.
That's a good point. Yeah, I feel like the height of the Banu story arc was last week. I loved Banu. Sad that he's gone, but I just don't think that I just know a lot of people really, really didn't like him for whatever reason. but it was sort of the same thing at that point, especially the last two episodes before was kind of like all building up to him going home.
Yeah, except when they redacted that and said actually Kinsey was in danger and Banu was not even on the like option list. That was so weird. I just think like it's a struggle for me when it's like the entire first like four episodes of the season hinge on one character and then that character's gone now, and it's like you said, Zach, it's like nothing has come in to really replace that energy. Or like, it's like maybe Jim like was like, oh, she's like hiding things, ooh, like maybe that was supposed to be like the replacement, but now she's gone too. So like,
Here's what I liked, and this is what I love how Survivor sometimes tells their stories. I think that like they find new ways to tell basically the same story over and over again. I found it really interesting and captivating for me how the Siga tribe has been presented up to this point, building up to this episode, basically by portraying them as the Vibes tribe. They're a big family. They all like each other. There's no clear target. Everyone's just vibing. Everyone's dancing together. You know, we've been criticizing them a lot for like, oh, there's nothing going on there. Like, or, you know, we get no gameplay. But then for me to see them lose and like, actually, I just assumed based on the edit that we gotten, it was very like, comma, you know, we love comma storyline. So to see that tribe actually lose, like them going back to camp, I was sitting there like, oh, fuck. Who's actually going to go home right now? Like, these people have to start playing. And then that scene where they're like sitting in silence around the campfire, like, you know, I was actually really invested, and I felt like the story they built paid off for me with this vote.
Yeah. And that's why just like having a train wreck tribe does kind of suck some energy out of the season, even if there's compelling characters and stuff. Yanu, I think in our text earlier, Sam was like, why'd they put all like the funniest people on Yanu? Like, it's like, it's a great tribe. And like, it was fun to see them work, but that's the trade-off when you have a tribe that does so poorly and keeps going to tribal. We didn't get to see whatever Orange tribe is called, I forget, because Nami. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what would have happened if they went to tribal? You know, they still lost someone, and it's like, I was so relieved when Siga lost, because like, oh, thank God we get to at least see like what the dynamics are there and like have something new, even if it was like, I was happy with the outcome, like it was such like a bummer to like that Jem went, but it was like, okay, something of importance happened on another tribe that will impact the game. And
I mean, we can call them a train wreck all we want, but like every single boot on their tribe has been unanimous. Like the person going home has only had a vote when Jess went home. She was alone in the vote. And then Banu was eliminated 3-0. And now, like, so this boot on Siga is the first one that's going to, like, leave someone out who's going to still be on the beach. So, like, I mean, they were a train wreck in that they lost a bunch of challenges, but they were always, like, unified and together on what was going to happen. And so, like, I think that in order for a train wreck tribe to be, like, captivating, they need to be like a social train wreck where they like all are like against each other rather than like this unified group who's really good about keeping everybody involved, whereas now on Siga like some actual dissension is happening.
No, I agree. The Yanu tribe was literally the worst of both worlds in that they were a train wreck challenge wise in that they just went to tribal council every single time and there was no the gameplay was extremely stagnant. It was a group of three locked in on basically day two, as they kind of said, and then just voted out the other three. And then that's why Three Tribes, by the way, Jeff, can really suck.
And he does listen
because every for somebody,
week.
Yeah, for somebody like Jess, right? You know, who in a 10-person tribe, if there are three people you don't get along with, then you know you can find other people to counterbalance that. Like Nora did on what was it, Island of the Idols?
Oh,
right, with the Molly boot.
Glad we're working that one.
but on a six-person tribe, there's literally no room to play, and you're gonna get tribes like this a lot more often. This is not like a once, you know. This is the start of a trend.
This is something that Jeff has talked about a lot. Small tribes, nowhere to hide. And I did not listen to On Fire this week or in the last year, but like D apparently this week was pushing back and was like, well, actually, I don't think that there's less room to hide because on average, they go to tribal council way less because there's two tribes and then one of them usually loses a bunch of times. So like more and more players are getting to the merge without ever having gone to tribal. They're actually hidden very well by not being vulnerable in the slightest.
And I think it's a great point because, like, it's not a good thing, but it, like, creates this, like, weird imbalance where, like, it's, like, half the cast is really exposed and half the players we know really well. And then, like, half the cast, like, don't know. I mean, the worst of case was, of course, 41 with Luvu. Like, it was the only story there was Erica and we didn't get Erica out. And that was the only story that ended up mattering. But, yeah, it's interesting that Dean brought that up as like a player perspective because it's like, yeah, if you are on the winning tribe, like small tribes are great. Like if you stay on it, like, but that's why at least, you know, do the swap because then I mean, there's at least a chance that the mix of players in those situations will be different.
Yeah. And I feel like I've like said this before, but I feel like it bears repeating of like, just from like an entertainment perspective, it's like I want to see like how would Soda have gotten along with Banu? Like, what would that have been like? What would Venus and Banu have been like? Like, how would Kinsey get along with Tevin or something? Like, that is like a lot more interesting when you get more combinations of characters. It's like it just blows my mind that we have so many. Like, it's just like normal now for so many of the players to just like not ever meet each other out on the like on their seasons, like. It's just weird to me. I don't get it. And I hope Jeff like listens and does something, please.
That's like, well, in this episode, Tiffany was like, Kenzie and Q are my two closest allies. And it's like, yeah, you haven't met anyone else.
So the only people you know, it's like, duh. And yeah, I feel it's like,
right.
It's not as, and it's also like, I feel like Q, Kenzie and Tiff are really fun characters and I really like watching them, but it's like, they're not Shan and Ricard. Like, I feel like that was like, like watching Shan like gaslight a 19-year-old boy is like that's pretty compelling television. but then it's like I just like as fun as Banu was like watching Banu like beg to Tiffany and Tiffany being like please stop immediately, like that's still like I don't know, that's just like that's not as intriguing to me, I guess, as a viewer. I don't know.
I wonder if like Ua had been less interesting in 41 if they would be clinging so much to this small like wanting this to happen again. like, because it's like in this episode, Jeff seemed to really think this was like good TV, that we had a small tribe. And like, we did have like, I know part of the like idea behind it is like, make people play like it's the end game. And we got some like one kind of cool, fun tribal out of it. I don't know. That just made me think, because I feel like they were happy with that.
I do not think that production was happy with 41 as a whole.
As a whole, no. But the pre-merge, yeah. I mean, so, maybe like, the whole show. Like, yeah.
But I mean, the fact that I think if anything, I think that 43 was the one where they were like, because 41, 42, 43, like structurally, were pretty much identical. You just take out the hourglass and you take out the do or die. But other than that, it's the same season. I think 43 was the one where they were like, we really didn't like this. Let's switch some things up. And then that's when they were like, let's do the birdcage this season. They did the weird thing with like Matt's elimination. They did like the small swap where like Carson and Jamie are going on to different tribes. So all is that to say is, I think when production really doesn't like a season, that is what causes them to change. So we have to, jury's still out on whether or not this is going to be a season that like totally swings around, ends up being like a San Juan del Sur style, like bad creamer, great end game.
Keep her name out of your mouth.
San Juan del Sur, unironically, and
Derek is saying that it would never perfect. Reach those heights. Like,
yes.
Well, no, I'm saying San Juan. I'm insulting it. San Juan del Sur, maybe the worst pre-merge ever. One of the worst pre-merges of all time.
I mean, we're watching it currently, but otherwise.
But I mean, how can you say that about pre-merge, where Jeremy says he was saying all sorts of racist and homosexual stuff? Like, how is that a bad pre-merge? I don't get it.
Yeah, right. That exact moment is the peak of your pre-merge.
That's what I'm saying.
This is my thing. Like, every time I go back and watch these episodes for the podcast, I'm like, well, there is some stuff, fun stuff here that's like could be fun to talk about, so maybe it's not that bad. But then I'm just like, if I have to like sift through dirt to find like the funny line someone said in one scene, like, they're probably not good. But I don't want to come off as like it could never be good. Like, I you know, I feel like when the merge happens, I'm kind of like, we'll put old things away, and maybe like I will come into the
What was this episode missing for you? Because this episode for me was a good episode of Survivor, like through
Sam
through.
Was not happy with this one.
Yeah,
he was talking mad shit in the group chat
and on Twitter, but
and on Twitter.com.
Yeah, Sam, what were you thinking? Because I feel like I'm maybe like in the middle. I didn't think it was
like it was fine. And,
yeah,
it was better than the previous ones. I didn't like watch. Yeah. There were issues I had, like, my issues are, like, we're still doing journeys, even though the journey this time was funny, because it was, like, Vanuatu mentioned. But, like, it hit the beats of a fine Survivor episode.
Yeah.
It just wasn't amazing.
What was it missing? I guess I can't really explain it. I would have let me think on it for a minute. I just think it was like altogether whatever. Like, I just don't think it was anything fun. I don't think that any new ground was tread, and it was all just not altogether a worthwhile episode of TV.
I totally disagree. That's so funny. I mean, in terms of the season, I absolutely think we got new ground. Like, this season basically introduced us to six new characters this episode. I thought that the gameplay itself was interesting. I thought there was a lot to talk through. I thought that the boot was surprising, but also, like, well-explained.
I agree with
that. I wasn't expecting Jem to go home walking into this episode. But by the end of it, you know, I was not, like, this wasn't a, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the perfect, like, how the hell did they go home? Like, a Chelsea Walker, right?
Yeah.
A lot of Island of the Idols references today. I don't know
it's
why
scary.
It's so top of mind.
You're welcome, fans. No, I agree that, like, I much prefer it to have been, like, the clues are there. Like, we understand why Jem went home. I'm not saying, like, I wish I was surprised. Just, I don't, I, I, like, perhaps it just wasn't popping for me. I'm sorry.
I mean, I guess to like defend Sam, I feel like it's like
first time Derek has ever said
that. Yeah, I know. I just feel like when we think, or is there anything from this episode that you're gonna be like, that is like Survivor, baby? Like you're like top of mind, great okay, Survivor well,
that's
moment.
It's a really high bar to have.
I'm like, just I wouldn't say that this is one of the premiers episodes of Survivor of all time. No, I wouldn't say that this is like a transcendental episode of television.
I'm just throwing a lifeline.
I don't know. I don't know that this episode specifically did anything wrong. I think that in the wake of the previous four episodes where I already don't like the season, another episode where I'm like, okay, is bad enough for me to be like bad. But I guess that's not fair. If I were to take Sam, it like on its face value. Yeah.
Oh, do you like this season better if it's 60 minutes?
Of course. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think so. I think that they haven't used the time well at all, especially compared to last season. Like, I think that they really, think that this season would have been a lot better if they realized that they could have just completely edited out Jem finding the idol and not having anything about that at all. Like, I don't think we needed to know that. Like, at all, basically.
I don't get that, Sam. That's so crazy wrong. To me that you say that. That's like, why... That's like
that's totally that wasted time. Like, tell me something else.
But she was voted out because of the shenanigans. She was right. Like the way she was. She found an idol, got confident, decided to like replant the clue.
That was instrumental in her vote out. Was the discord that she sowed within her tribe, so Kim'd within her tribe that ended up. I mean, we see Tim like immediately suss her out. He knows it's her. She's now throwing the shade onto Tim as the one having the idol, which directly screws her over because I very strongly feel that if this vote was being put on Tim versus Ben, that Tim goes home here.
And that was
I think that the issue was putting Ben.
That's like, and that was my fear. Like, speaking of like, unexplained or like badly poorly explained like vote offs, like the fact that they like brought up Tim's like name once was like in my brain, oh, Tim's gonna go home, because they love to do that of like they handedly mention the boot at one point in the episode and that's like all the justification they need to like have someone go home. So I was like pleasantly surprised, like you said, Zach, that it was like actually like a logical storyline that Jim went home, even though it was very upsetting for it to happen. So I did like that aspect of it, that it was not the like usual Survivor shorthand where they just get kind of lazy and don't really want to explain why someone went home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with what you just said. Don't try to act like I don't agree with what you said.
Sam is activated.
It's just been, I think I'm just hoping that, you know, something fun happens soon. I've enjoyed pieces of all the episodes so far. You know, good or fine, waiting to be great.
I feel like it has the bones there. I feel like, because it's like we have players like Soda and Tevin and Hunt, like all these like cool people and Nabi who just have never been to tribal. We don't know what they're gonna act like when they have to vote someone out. I feel like that's gonna be a lot of fun. It's just like it's like maybe there is a version of this pre-merge that like plays better as television. I just feel like maybe this was just like a crappy pre-merge and we just need to get to this merge and things will light up more.
I always thought that the 90 minutes were going to make great seasons even greater and bad seasons even worse. I'm not ready to call this a bad season yet, because I truly think that like in the grand scheme of things, the pre-merge, I say this as a pre-merger, the pre-merge means very little in how we view Survivor seasons. Like, it's great to have a great pre-merge, but the merge is really where, even like when we get into like edit talk and stuff, I think the merge is where everything really comes alive and you really see like what is the story of this season. So I don't think we're there yet. The story thus far has basically been like Yanu sucks, Siga's chill and fun, and they finally had to turn on each other, which I thought was cool. And that Nami is like a ticking time bomb ready to explode.
and I can't wait.
I think that the Sega turning on each other thing will be good going into the merge.
What's interesting that I was thinking about is Mo is kind of a very interesting spot, I feel, that we haven't seen that often in the new era, where I was trying to think, like, how many players have we seen that have just been completely blindsided at a tribal, but have, like, stayed in the game and made it to the merge? I was able to think of Xander as one, but that was, like, a while before. I was able to think of Ryan from 43, but he wasn't exactly the most interesting person for that to happen to. And then Sean after the 45, after Sabaya was put out, but then he was like, then he quit. So Mo is kind of like coming into this merge in a really interesting spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could be a really useful position to leverage. Like, you have to be careful with it, because you have to be careful not to come across of like, where your own tribe is sus of you. Like, oh, should we be worried about this person? But it puts her into a really interesting position of like, there is a narrative you can spin of like what happened on your old tribe and this big explosive vote happening right before the merge can help you like get on the less threatening side of that. So no, it's something you have to like manage and be careful with, because you don't want to be caught like trying to like sow discord and like, you know, turn on your own tribe. But that's a really good point, and I'm interested to see like if she like takes like notice of that going to this merge. Okay, like how can I play this? Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see where that goes. Because Sika to me seemed like the tribe with like, if say like Yanu like had lost again here, I feel like Sega would have like been the one people would be looking at the merge, because they were so vibey, so together. But now they're coming in like a little more fractured, and that would give certain players like Mo more room to navigate potentially.
They're fractured in that they have voted and like they know where the lines are drawn, and then Nami is fractured but have never been
because
able
to they are Nami
to each other. And so like there's so many different groups that are separate for different reasons. And so I think that, yeah, and the only people who are really unified, I guess the guys and Maria are like a four, but they've only voted together once, and then the trio of Yanu.
I think it's honestly going to be, let's say that they weren't merging and they were going to like a, you know, another group thing. I think it would be pretty easy for Mo to get back with Charlie and Maria as long as she didn't like blow up, which I really have a tough time imagining Mo doing that. I think it would be a pretty easy, like, I totally understand, like, I'm still with you guys. Those boys, those are the threats. And like them not wanting to do like a, you know, make it 2-2, Charlie and Maria wanting to like have the control there. I'm convinced going into next episode that we're going to see a Nami go home. It just feels like, it feels like that's the disaster waiting to happen.
It feels like that's going to be, I agree. It feels like that's that building there, because it's like, there's this like one storyline that is continuing is the Venus of it all. And like, I don't know, I feel like that could go either way, of her just being the consensus mergatory boot, or her like being able to flip it on one of them. But then you have Soda and Tevin, it feels like I think Sega will be able to like pull it together enough and see like what's going on. And I continue on your point. Yeah, being in the position where your people have to apologize to you for a vote, like Mo did nothing wrong at that vote. She voted like with where she thought her alliance members were voting, and like it was not the result of them feeling betrayed by Mo. Like, she's in the perfect position to be of in terms of someone who was just blindsided. You did nothing wrong, they just decided to do something different, they apologized to you, you still have the numbers but you look less threatening because you weren't the one who was involved in this vote. But yeah, I agree, I will be shocked if it's not a Nami.
Yeah, I think
Nami wants it to be a Nami.
Right? They're like, we have to like...
Please let us...
Very Baka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good comparison. I think that could easily be what happens here.
Venus is a lot more likely to run and be like, we need to vote out one of these people and I'm willing to work with you, like, save me, than Mo is after being betrayed. So, like, I think that it will be, but, like...
That's maybe also 100. Why I hate this merge twist that they do, where it's like, mm-hmm. not going to be a clean vote. It's really going to end up being.
I forgot about that. Five. Fucking hell! Like, yeah, it's just like I'm thinking about these exciting possibilities.
But guys, it might just normally merge. It might just be a normal merge. We never know until it happens.
No, there's nowhere to hide,
except for when seven people are immune. Venus in this episode really made me laugh. When she was talking to Hunter, and she was like, they were just talking, having a cagey conversation, and she was like, you know, a lot of people might want to get you out because you're a physical threat. And he was like, you want me out? And she was like, no, I see you as a threat, but I think of you as a meat shield. And like, she told him that she was using him as a shield. Very funny.
She's just a truth teller. She can't help it.
Yeah.
She knows she's on the bottom. She'll do whatever she wants.
Right. I think that there's obviously different ways to play being at the bottom. Her way is very specifically like, pray for merge.
Very funny.
Now I'm excited to see how her game goes from here.
Being on a tribe with Hunter, you're sort of able to do that. You're like, well, we're not going to go to tribal, so I can just kind of say it like it mm-hmm. is.
Yeah. The worst thing that happens to you is Yanu prays for one of you to get injured. So like, as long as you dodge the prayer warriors, you should be fine for merge.
Yeah.
So he is risen. We need to talk about the journey challenge. Zach, there's been a lot of talk on Twitter among super fans about how they would have done in this challenge. I know Sam, at your watch party, you guys pulled some people up and they did very poorly.
People were not able to do it. And I think gagged. That they probably, you know, people get confident and they're like, I can definitely do it. And if you're not in front of a crowd of like 100 people, I'm sure you can name all the seasons of Survivor, but like, you know, I'm sure people were a little stage fright and they forgot the seasons.
No grace. I'm giving zero grace to these people.
Exactly. Yeah. Say it here. Would you have won this challenge if you were on the island?
I mean, come on. Like, come on.
And it was not even all the seasons.
It wasn't that hard.
No, it was so easy. That being said, and the freaking losers on Reddit, I just are complaining they find anything to complain about of like, it's like 200 comments being like, this was unfair. How could our sweet baby boy Hunter, girl Hunter, you know, get such an unfair challenge? I'm like, he volunteered for it. He volunteered to be the one who went on the journey. Then three of them, one of them had to choose to do this. He was the one who said, I think I could do it. And then he went up and he couldn't do it. And that's how it goes sometimes. And now he lost his vote. But there was nothing unfair in when you're presented, one of you will have to do a Survivor trivia game when he volunteers for that. And then he loses that. Like, you know, that's not unfair. I was so annoyed by the fan reaction to it. And I actually thought it was a fun challenge because it's like,
I don't care about unfair challenges at all. Every single challenge is slanted in his direction. It's fine to do one challenge where it's not about jumping through something.
And how do you have your entire garage full of Survivor memorabilia?
Get him.
And not know that Karamoan is a different season than Micronesia.
I feel like such an asshole, like being like, what kind of loser doesn't know? But it is just like, and that is like funny to me that Reddit of all places is like on the side of the guy who couldn't name the seasons, and it seems like that's the opposite. Mm-hmm. If it was someone they didn't like, they would fully be like, you are not a real, this is like everything wrong with the new era. They're not casting actual super fans like me. Like, this just like, it's only because it's Hunter that they're like, actually the challenge is what's bad.
Yeah. I do appreciate the picks of seasons though. They picked the, you know, the lesser loved seasons where someone would have to be an actual super fan to sort of know where they were. Like, San Juan del Sur, Guatemala, Vanuatu, like Marquesas.
We were all like, yes!
Exactly, but like, that, you know, people won't...
The one Caleb no one was is like, from?
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, you mean the one Michelle won? Like, come on.
Yeah, well, they're afraid to restoke the Michelle Aubrey flames. But like... Like
that would have
like
been amazing experience. if he was like, Ko-Rong, that's the one that Aubrey should have won.
Okay. That would have really been the wrong move. But I like no one in Hunter's demographic who is recommending him seasons is going to be like, oh my god, yeah, you have to check out Guatemala. So like,
he needs more gay friends.
Good seasons picked.
Like, it feels like they literally looked at my personal like top 10. Like, it's weird.
No, it's funny because we've evoked this often. Derek and I curated our friend Audrey's Survivor journey, and this was her first time. She just caught up on the seasons. This is the first episode she watched live, and we were texting, and she was like, these are literally all the seasons you guys made me watch. This would be like, I also had a friend guide me through this, but I was like, well, you just had gay friends who like told you to watch the underappreciated seasons. Like, she was like, this is actually a Survivor trivia challenge I would have done well at.
That's always kind of need Audrey on actual Survivor. Like, I feel like that's my goal in life. Yeah. To make that happen.
Jeff, if you're listening.
Caster.
That's our friend.
Ben is the first, like, you know, we've had some rock musicians, you know, Sifu and now Ben, and then, you know, paving the way for Audrey.
I see it happening.
This is loosely related to casting. Zach, we got a question from Inferno Fio on Twitter and asked, what inspired you to make the video about casting advice? I have watched it recently and it's a great video.
Oh, thank you. What inspired me was basically that I had such a, as I kind of said in the video, I really like studied the whole thing and really like, I won't say I put the most effort into my video of anyone, but I'd say that I'm like top 10. Like, I really devoted like a summer to just watching every video I could do. I was reading books about it. I read like Dan Geesling's book, listening to every podcast, literally transcribing audition videos so that I could read the video and see what was actually being said. Basically, all that to say is it worked. But then I had all of this useless information in my brain that I had nothing to do with. So I was just kind of like, all right, well, I used, you know, there's not that many videos or books or things like resources for people who want to get on the show. I was like, might as well just, you know, make my own. And like that way, when the next person like me is trying to do this whole thing, they just have like one more video to watch.
Love that. People's hero, Zach Wurtenberger.
Thank you. And I haven't gotten called out for it on.
I was going to say. Yes.
You haven't gotten a DC services.
Oh my God.
No, I was worried about that. But luckily.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Jeff.
And then they got Corey on too. So clearly we didn't piss anyone off.
I'm saying. I know. Jeff just
called out a previous contestant online with the Flames, and so I feel like Survivor 46 is just learning from Jeff, and they've now decided to just start attacking people online too.
Oh my god, they're so scary.
I was worried this week because I was saying some bad things about the episode. I was like, we might
be incur the next, the wrath.
The person next people attacked, which I think would be fun.
I think we have we have crucial allies on the cast.
We have some shooters. Yeah, there's you know who you are.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need someone to vouch for you with that group. Because if not, they will come after you like a pack of rabid dogs. Like, it is it's terrifying.
Yeah, we established our ride or die really early on in the season. And I trust that they will protect us. Zach, when can we reveal who it is?
You never know, though. Off-bot? Okay.
Well, we'll tell. We'll
you
tell.
Never know, though, because like they might not be able to stop it. They just might be able to give you like the warning cry.
Yeah,
like lock it down.
It's coming. Prepare yourself.
In 30 minutes, something terrible will occur.
Derek and I will offer Sam up as a as an offering.
Sam, would you consider this season off-putting?
Oh, you're setting him up.
No, you know, I feel I have been attacked by the three of you. I was ready to come in here and just talk about the things that I enjoyed about the episode. You know, just try to keep it positive and light. And I feel perhaps spent more time than I thought we were going to being discussing if it's bad.
Oh, so he's really brave behind a keyboard, but when we get him on mic.
Just trying to spread love and positivity towards the
a million like, hearts. Well, no, it's
clear. A million hearts.
You say Aldrich Society, we're not doing what a lot of people are doing, which is saying these people are the worst people in the world. I hate them. They're so boring. We're all talking about the finished product of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll also say that I think the fans get worse and worse every season. And I think mm-hmm. it's just going to reach like a fever pitch where they like literally like, you know, I don't know. But like, I think that this season, 45, they were terrible. The fans were like an absolute
nightmare. For no reason.
For no reason towards like Brandon. A great season. Like, the guy. Like,
it's so random.
Like
fans act like they have $1 million on the line with these with the show. With just watch it and enjoy it.
And with Banu and like with Soda now, like it's so. What did Soda
it's personal. It's just personal about people they don't know. Like that's the difference. It's like there's you can say I'm not happy with this season. I'm not happy with this gameplay. But like it's really you're right, Zach. It does feel like these. As the new era has gone on, like people are getting bolder and bolder with their like hate.
I mean, Soda literally hasn't done anything except steal the idol 2 times, which was funny.
It'd be funny.
Which I thought we were all agreeing was funny. And then singing and calling Venus a stick bug, like those are the crimes against humanity that Soda has committed that's caused her to like, you know, receive all of this vitriol.
It makes no sense. We are soda jerks until the day we die, like soda forever.
Picture.
I just don't get it. Everyone calm down. I feels like we are headed towards whatever the Survivor fan version of the insurrection is. Like they're gonna storm the like the on production. Fire the what?
But they're gonna go to Fiji during a season of like rush a challenge.
Yeah.
Storm the Mergatory.
I'm kind of tempted to do that myself. So you know what? I'm actually on their side.
I'll give you my Viking helmet.
Yeah. Oh God.
We should talk a bit more about just before we move on to wrapping up the episode and Edgic and stuff. Like we haven't really talked
about
much.
Gem.
We should talk about like Gem and like
the
Maria of
the episode.
We should talk about Gem and the Maria. Playing the extra vote of it all because those were the big. Also, first of all, I knew this episode was gonna be something when we had the previously on was just the advantage recap. We didn't even talk about
oh,
that.
Hell no.
I was just showing everyone. I was like, oh no, So like
that annoyed me so much. I was like, oh, Sika's going to try. They're like exactly. Previously on Survivor. Ben lost his vote. Maria gained an extra vote. Yanu still sucks. Who will be voted at?
Like, okay, well, be serious.
So, yeah, like, we should talk about Gem and then talk about, like, Maria's decision to play the extra vote. And also the decision on Maria and Charlie to go with the way they went at all. This wasn't, like, a big decision.
Yeah, I obviously would have loved for them to stick with the girlies. But I do think it's, like, it is on Gem a little just for doing whatever she was doing. Making great TV. They were just jealous.
Invoking Amy Cusack.
Exactly. Like, is that such a crime? I don't think so.
Let women have hobbies.
Yes. What I was confused by, and maybe she'll have more insight next week, is Maria deciding to use it here. I think maybe was the confusion, because I think the parchment said, like, this is only good until there are 6 people left in the game. Was she thinking, like, well, there's 6 people now? Like, I think
she knew.
Yeah.
I think she knew.
I think Ben told her that he didn't have a vote, and so she was like, we need... Yeah. She just wanted to make sure.
That's fair.
Yeah. I also think it was, like, it was the logic of, like, everybody... This extra vote is public knowledge. Every single person on every single tribe knows I have this extra vote.
Yeah.
Let's just burn it, and then that way... I don't have to come into the merge with an advantage, with a known advantage that honestly isn't that valuable.
No, and this is if you are going to burn it, this is the place to do it when there is 6 people voting and we know one of them isn't voting. Like it's the extra vote is most powerful when there are a few people in the game. So it's kind of either play it now or hold on to it till 6. Right. But everyone will know you have it.
I still don't like like using it. I still think that like they're, because who knows what's going to happen next episode. Like,
yeah, it's a risk.
If you know you're burning it, like might as well just hold it and then burn it next time if you don't need it.
Yeah.
Keep it like rainy day insurance. But I wasn't offended by it.
It wasn't a bad, like, it was just kind of like, oh, I see the logic and like knowing, okay, we know, that's something you know for sure is that Ben is not voting. I mean, based on what he's telling you. So if that's the one certainty you're counting on here and you think an idol might be in play, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I get when the tribes are this small and then the voting margins are this small, it's a strong case to play it.
Yeah. And also just like big brain moment of her putting Jamila and Jim as like the two different things. Genius.
Yeah.
She's everything.
I think Jim really, I think she ended up being the right vote here for Charlie and Maria. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that until this episode, but we've already seen, first of all, they don't even know how much Jim has lied to them with this whole idol thing. And like, lied to them for not two strategic reasons, like making Maria think she doesn't have a vote and sending them on this wild goose chase really did not help her game enough for what she was basically like putting her tribe through. And then I also think that Maria still has the connection to Mo. I mean, Mo's not going to have another choice. Charlie was going to lose what seems to be his closest ally outside of Maria and Ben with this, so he gets to keep him. And then you've got Tim, who came up with this this whole brand new alliance for Maria, that if Maria, I don't know if Tim had told her about that
right
before. I would imagine he did. I'd have to imagine that he did. And if he's telling Maria like, hey, I just made a 6-person alliance for us, come merge, Maria would have to be crazy to blindside him at that vote when she has the option to just like stick with him and see if that's like something fruitful.
I also think we were kind of shown a lot of flaws in Jem's game in this episode, where if push came to shove, she's not really the ally you want on working with you. Like, even just before they lost the immunity challenge, we're seeing her and Tim talking, and Tim's like, so like, if we lose the challenge, like, what do you think? And she's like, I don't know, just like gonna vote for whoever pissed me off that day, which like is so obviously a lie. Like, clearly things are going on and this is an opportunity maybe to, like, obviously they probably know at this point that they're not working together in alliances, but like it's just not true. And so clearly, like, maybe not bad play, but a mistake, and like maybe there's a better option. But then when they do lose the challenge, she's talking to Tim, or no, she's talking to Ben, and she's like, I know you and Tim are close, so like, what are you guys doing? Let me know. It's just like, that's not really how people play. Like, telling people they know that you know, telling other people you know they're close with someone else is like huge red flag, feels like to me. And so it just feels like mistakes of hers were shown throughout, where like Ben and Tim are not making these mistakes and probably being better at like assuring Maria that they're going to work with her.
So this is the vibe that I got watching it. I'm curious if you guys agree with this or not. I kind of got the vibe that Tim and Jem were the two that were the most like isolated on the tribe. Like, Tim is all the way with the boys, and then Jem was like all the way with the girls. Whereas it seems like Ben and Mo are a little bit more like a little bit more social, maybe a little bit more like into the vibiness of everything, into the tribe culture, with Maria and Charlie obviously at the center. So I felt like the reason why it ended up being Jem getting the axe was that it wasn't Jem versus Tim, but it was Jem versus Ben, who was the one who had just had these stronger connections with the core.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How I read what happened here, yeah.
Because the Sega
why didn't tribe, they just do Tim?
That's not what Jem wanted, I guess. Like, the Sega tribe was the opening of this week was like the girls talking about how much time Charlie's been spending with Ben and how they're super close. And like, they're a little worried, but at one point they were like, well, we got to him first. Even though Maria is in confessional being like, I know that's not really how it works, but we did. And so like, I think that's exactly right. Like for whatever, I mean, I think that's a good thing to pick out and be like, well, maybe we should get rid of Tim. I mean, get rid of Ben because our fourth number is the closest with him. But if you're depending on Charlie to vote with you to get rid of one of the guys, you probably shouldn't tell him, like, we're going to get rid of your closest ally.
Yeah, and if you're, like, already clocking this person as being a social threat, like, odds are, like, you will not have trouble, like, being able... I get the concern, you don't want to, like, let that person, if you see someone as being a big social, you don't, like, let them have a chance to get even more leverage socially. But if you're, like, seeing, like, this is something that you see, okay, this is a narrative we need to, like, keep, and, like, when it comes time to, like... try to, you know, take him out. This is leverage we have to get him out. But, like, again, the margin is so small here. And, like, if you're like, our close ally is really close to him, you have to think through, like, maybe that we won't have the numbers for this. And yet the biggest mistake, like, this episode was letting that get in kind of a like tunnel vision on Ben. And it was the right read. He is really, we can see he's really likable guy. But you can have the right read, but also recognize this won't work right now. And I think there was, once the vote shifted off of Tim, I mean, there was also the issue of, like, by Jem, like, putting the idol suspicion on Tim, people were not going to vote for Tim, but on a tribe of six people. So it was just, like, a perfect storm of having the vote turned on her here, or at least turned on her alliance, and it ended up being her.
Really, really good by Tim, too, to immediately volunteer of, I'll go on the journey. Like, throwing his hand up to, like, Matt, because that was then what put more sus on, like, oh, he might have an idol. Also, with Ben being this threat, like, the social threat, I kind of think that, like, you know, this is obviously informed by the new era and, like, what we've seen win. But I think that, like, people are clocking that now. Like, we just watched Jam Jam 1. We just watched Marianne 1. I hesitate to even say Gabler as well, in terms of, like, this person who's kind of appears to be there for, like, the vibes and the humor and, like, the silliness. You know, people are clocking that, like, that's those qualities in Ben, which I think he personifies more than anyone, make him a threat, but it also makes him a shield come merge. Like, he is a little bit of, like, a Christian Hubicki spot where, like, I don't think people are going to let him, like, sniff the end game. I think he is going to be in danger come final 9, final 8, final 7.
This was also my thing with, like, Q wanting Kenzie to go, where they were like, she's a social butterfly, she'll talk to everyone. But going into a merge where your tribe will be, isn't your tribe, no matter what, is not enough numbers to be a majority, you need people who are going to go out and make social connections with other groups of people to bring them in to vote with you so that you have power at the merge. Like, I don't think that being a social butterfly or being a social threat is necessarily something you need to worry about pre-merge, because you will need that person, hopefully, unless they, like, fully flit off and leave you behind, which is a risk, obviously. But it's, like, it's a benefit to you to keep this person in who's, like, super likable. It's, like, that's something people, like you're saying, will notice too and be like, oh yeah, that is a threat, but maybe we can do that later after we get the majority.
Yeah. And I guess maybe, like, they don't have the full context, but I feel like you could probably tell someone like Tevin is, like, also very socially good. I feel like, so it's like, we can't, I guess, go in without having that asset that Nami will, like, for sure have at this point. And it's also, like you said, Sam, like, I don't think they would let someone like Ben make it that far. So I just feel like it was wrong to ever try to, like, take him out here. It just doesn't make sense as, like, a spot to do that. So... you hate to see it.
It's playing like it's final 6 in a bad way. Like, again, like the small tribes do, I think. Yeah, like, I get the group is so small. Like, I get how that's really scary to have someone who seems that social. But the merge is, we know, one thing predictable about the new era is we know the merge is coming very soon. And it was just not good timing for anyone.
No.
I just want to say, we always see that Tim is right. Tim has the right reads and knows what's going on. And we've only cut to him maybe twice in the season, but he has a good head on his shoulders.
The Timur edit.
What do you think about
the Tiki Man
convo?
You know, I didn't need to know that, but he, you know, it's still a right read. He knows what's going on. Good for him.
Is that foreshadowing? Is he going to
get go the way of Bruce?
Or Bruce?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Bruce, not Bruce Peralt. Bruce,
yeah,
Bruce P. Bruce kind of guy.
Yes. I hope they give them an outhouse to drink wine in. That would be great. Yeah, what was I gonna say? Yeah, I just feel bad for Jim. I just feel like she overplayed for some reason. Because she's that girl, you know, she can't help it. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
I have an answer to the question from before, like, what are you looking for in an episode of Survivor? And I think I am just looking for more to discuss. Like, I just think that there weren't enough things in each act of the show where I'm like, this was like a fun scene to like talk about. And so I just think that, you know, more things to like have a discussion about. Like, I feel like we barely talked about the episode. Like, we felt it. We had a good discussion about like Survivor in general, mm-hmm. but like we weren't pulling specifics from like each and every scene of the show because there weren't enough specifics to pull.
Well, there's stuff. I mean, there's like, you know, there's Q's like pretending to quit strategy specifically so that Kenzie won't use her shot in the dark, which the idea of using your shot in the dark on a 3-person tribe is basically like just like throwing all like fucking, you know, it's insane. Like, you're so much better. It's literally a 50-50 shot. If you use your vote, but if you don't use your vote, you're basically making it a 1-6. I thought that was interesting. I think the continuity of Q trying to quit is pretty funny for someone who was so anti-quit from the start. And then Nami was kind of like an idol find scene. So I agree. There wasn't really that much on Nami. I like how Liz was like, I'm not looking for an idol.
Yeah. I can't find my spot. I love Liz.
I know. Liz is great.
Lesbians.
Yes.
One of my servants go and do that.
It's being a dyke against the rising waters of.
Oh my God. Yeah. Stan Liz. Stan Mariah, honestly. Queen of jumping. When they come together at Merge, which they are about to do, it's over for these hoes. Like, they're not gonna know who is who. I hope they switch buffs and clothes and like try to like parent trap everyone. It's gonna be great.
Q is great, and like I loved after the win, he said, "Is this what a win feels? Is this what it feels like to win?" There's like that's so dramatic. I
love it. It's so good. And I loved Kenzie like not really giving Jeff what I think he wanted Kenzie to like have a breakdown in that moment. She was just like, yeah, it's like great that we get to eat, yay. Like, she just like kind of had a muted response to it, which I love Kenzie.
Yeah, the tribe is you know, we've seen so much of them. I feel like I know the intimate dynamics of these three people and their 3-person alliance so well, and I'm excited to see them interact with other people now. Do you think that this I feel like the biggest thing from this episode that we haven't discussed is this journey alliance that I really do buy into as like is going to be a force within this game?
So what would this would be? Hunter and Tevin, Tim and Maria,
and Q and Tiff.
Q and Tiffany.
That could make sense. Yeah. Like, I would not be surprised if that has legs.
So that's basically what happened on
42.
Basically what happened on my season, yeah. With the like the threats, right, coming together at the merge to take out the outsiders. And that lasted, you know, that got Lydia out, that got Chanel out, and then Tori out, and then it kind of fell apart and then Roxroy was his own thing. Kind of fell apart once they started going for high. But I think that once you like establish that, like, this is the culture of our season right now, like, we're the threats, we're the big players, and we're going to get out some of these undeserving people. Like, people like to buy into that. And I think that that's going to hold for an episode 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah. As long as my girl Maria is safe, who cares? They can all go. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the episode proper or improper if you're Sam?
Look, I'm trying to be nice. What is the best thing to say when you come up to a group of people talking on Survivor? It's not what are you guys talking about? Is it just hello?
Oh, that was another thing. Yeah.
No, it's the Kim Spradlin silent stare while Goofy music plays.
Or it's I am approaching.
I'm approaching. Yeah, that's what I was
approaching. Yeah. You remind me a lot of myself. You are my number one.
What is the funniest thing you could say to a group of people that are talking about you? I don't know. I have a bulging disc. I don't know. Like, what do you say?
I think basically that was Banu's entire game, right?
Yeah.
Just coming on your people talking about him and saying things.
Just start on your hands and knees, like crawl to them.
Thing I could say in this moment.
Yeah, what if you just like bark at people? That's, I think someone needs to just go that route and just like scare the shit out of everyone, you know?
You know what I think? I think the in terms of you're trying to like speed run getting voted out of Survivor, I think maybe are you guys mad at me?
Yes, that's a good one.
Are you I think if you opened every single conversation with "Are you guys mad at me?" you would be out of there so fast.
Or like, "I don't like what's going on here." Something like really confrontational and like, but like you're presenting yourself as like the sort of like victim of whatever's happening, you know?
Mine would be, "Are you guys worried about anything?" Just every single conversation begins with that.
I think this is a winning game plan, honestly.
Slay.
Shall we plug and then talk the edge?
Yes. Zach, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter. You can find me. I made some YouTube videos, as you mentioned, trying to make another one. So you can find me on YouTube, Zach Wurtenberger. What was that?
What's the new video about? If you can,
it's about disclose? It's not about Survivor, actually. It's about a different reality TV show that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't. But yeah,
expand. Find me on Instagram. I don't
know. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Deal or No Deal Island, for sure. That's got to be that one. Okay, Sam, what about you? Where can people find you?
Obviously follow Bitter Jurors Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Patreon. We just did an episode on the final jurors of Survivor. You can follow me at Sam Stanish on Instagram.
Hell yeah. Christine?
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at the Extine Files. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor with Gia Worthy. And I'm not plugging anything, but I just want to take this time to give a shout out to Bitter Judy Alex, who won my org. I co-host that all the other Bitter Judies and Sam flopped out of. All of the Bitter Judies got voted out before the merge except her, and she won. So give a shout out to her, even though you haven't listened to Stanawati or Stanima. How dare you?
You're over.
My second placer on the pod, Zach.
Second placer. Come on now.
Second placer in the flop games.
Sometimes when someone is asking me who how I did on Survivor, who knows nothing about Survivor, and like I know they're not going to Google it, or I know they're not going to do anything, I just say, "Oh, I was second."
There you go.
And they're like, "That's smart. Second?" Yeah. I'm like, "Yeah, I was second." You're like, "That's crazy. Like, how'd you do that?" I was like, "Well, you know, social gameplay, strategic gameplay."
I just showmance with the winner, too.
An advantage.
So. Showmance with the winner, yeah.
Winner, yeah. You could say we're the Robin Amber of the new era.
Yeah, I gave that advice to Justine, too. I was like,
and it worked.
This will work. Yeah. She doesn't do the showmance with the winner part, though.
That is fair. I hope she sees a spider every day. You can follow me, Emery Dierks, on Twitter. Listen to Shadowplay Gaze. One day we will do the musical. We talked about Sailor Moon. That was fun, like 5 months ago. Love that for us. We're so fierce. That's it. Yeah, do the Patreon. We're cool. We're amazing, etc. Now for the Ejika Kazupanan of it all.
Absolutely. Zach, what's your relationship with Edric?
So Edric, I used to be super into, I would say somewhere around like 33 to 39, maybe. Like that was my peak Edric period. Then I started getting annoyed because I just felt like I was like, these people are spoiled. Like it was really annoying me when it was first of all, like Edric ruined Island of the Idols, among many things, where I'm watching the first 5 minutes of it and I'm like, "Oh, that guy wins."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, that's stupid. Like, why am I even watching the rest of the season?" And there's some seasons that are like that. I think New Era Edgic has actually gotten really fun. Unfortunately, like being an alum now, I haven't been able to participate as much because I just feel like I have too much info. That being said, this season I am 100% unspoiled, so I'm good to go.
Wow, Unite. I enjoyed. I've come away from this episode. Well, I feel like we're still getting hints of Jeff Probst being God as a running theme of the season. He said in this episode, "You can't vote for me. I'm here forever." Sort of
scary.
Yes,
godlike of him, immortal figure in Survivor. I think an important theme I'm picking up on this season is how much fun people are having. I think that. Yeah. People are like, Jem had many confessionals over the last two or three episodes where she's like, I'm just having a lot of fun with it. Like, I'm having fun. And like, but I think that a big takeaway for me is that like the person who's having the most fun and the most fun person is Ben. And now that Jem's having a fun time and Ben's having a fun time have like come across each other, Ben proved out and was the more fun person, and I think that we could be looking at a fun guy Ben win.
Wackadoodles win.
Wackadoodles win. Yeah. Good point. Thank you.
That too.
That is a good one. Yeah.
Well, I already I believe I texted this during the episode, but I am feeling the Mariah fantasy. Something about her content is feeling very like shoehorned. I feel like that's usually the sign for at least with women winners. They're like, we have to like, I guess, show her sometimes. And so it's like, not to say Mariah is like boring anyway. I think she seems very sweet. It's just like, we just like go, like we got her. She was the one who delivered like all the tribe, like dynamic rundown when like they lost immunity, which is weird because she was the only person left out of the vote other than the person who got the boo. But I feel like the episode like kind of hid her a little, or it wasn't like, Mariah got like duped, or like, oh, she's like such an idiot for voting with Jem. It was just like, we got Mariah's perspective. She was left on the out of the votes. Like, and like you were saying, Christine, I feel like strategically, she honestly is not in a bad position, like you said. So I'm like, I see a world where like Mariah's our winner, which I'm like kind of gagged by because I wasn't thinking that when the season started. So yeah, I feel
like that's why the new era is so fun though. Like, it really is hard to see these things. I think let's talk Mariah and Ben, because I do think that they're real candidates, both of them. With Mariah, I think that every single thing rides on next episode.
Yeah.
Like, the story, like, she's actually, I've been looking at her from the start because she had a clearly set up story in episode one of, I'm the nerd, I'm the person that this tribe is just so social, and I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to vibe with them, that I'm not like that I'm gonna revert to this like awkward person. Now we've seen her like be left on the outs, and it's like next episode is where like, you know, it can really like kick into high gear of like, oh my god, like I was the one on the outs, I need to get my shit together, I need to form these new bonds. Like, you know, I think that like if Mariah has a great episode next one, she like shoots up to like the top of my list. And then
her premiere setup storyline that you're talking about is also interesting, because I feel like we see that a lot from the perspective of people who are like, I'm socially isolated, I'm a nerd, like I'm a weirdo, I'm a loser, and I'm playing poorly. But in the premiere of this season, she's like, in my normal life, I am like awkward or like an introvert, but out here, like I want to prove that I'm proving to myself that I can be social. Like, and we get it in this scene that I'm remembering from the premiere where she's like now friends with Jem, and then she and Maria are like linking up, and so it's not the usual like growth arc beginning that we see.
Yeah, it's like the growth happened like day one. Like
she chose to have grown already.
Yes,
it's a little bit. It's a little bit Carla-esque in Carla coming in, being like, I thought I was gonna. Outcast. I thought that I was going to be like looked at the first target, but here I am, like everybody wants to work with me.
So maybe she's just like makes it far. I just like, I have good vibes with Mariah. I guess like I, for some reason, even though like we all like talk about how boring the green tribe is, like edgically, I feel like especially in a post Lubu world that like doesn't really mean anything, I just feel like the vibes are there for a green tribe. And like I said before, color theory, the green is the only tribe color that hasn't won in the new era yet.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm. And also I think that generally the tribe that the audience walks away with, like the casual audience walks away liking the most, is usually a good sign. So even though, like, first of all, they have not been purple, like in the way that Luwu was. Yeah. Just, also, no. 41 was like such a disaster. But like this, we have checked in on them every episode. We know these six people. Even Tim, like we now, I feel like we know Tim. You said out. Ben. I think Ben is a really like key pick. He's a very like relevant character, very funny, very likable. The audience is obviously going to gravitate towards him. Only issue with Ben, I would say, is that one secret scene that basically showed that he like doesn't know how to lie. The fact that it was a secret scene is a pretty good sign. That was that immediately I was like, oh, he's not winning, and I've had to like rebuild off of that. Yeah. And two, he's the kind of character that would always get screen time.
Yes.
That's that's the sticking point for me on Ben. I thought this episode was interesting, but I for him and it made me consider him a bit more. But that's always something I come back to. It's like, would we be hearing from this person as much and in this way? Regardless, I think Ben was always gonna get a story on this season because he's so likable and talkative, and that's why Derek that's the episode I was honing in Mariah. I was like, this is a girly they would not be afraid to bury.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against her. It's just like she's like in the position she's not one of the main players on this tribe in terms of like in this vote, in terms of what we saw what Jem was doing and Ben and the Maria and Charlie and their whole thing. The fact that we were just like really consistently checking in with Mariah and her perspective on this tribe. And that, like you said, Zach, there is a narrative there. Like there is something of like this like out feeling like an outsider, and now if she is on the outs. There's something there, which is something I don't think they would have necessarily given her in every scenario. It would be it makes sense if she wins and they gave her that.
That's the key for me when I'm looking at editing is there a story that's being built up of like when they won, this is the story of their win. With Erica, there was not. With Marianne.
Lion to lamb or lamb to lion. Lamb to,
that was it. That was
No. Lamb dressed as a lamb or lion dressed as a lamb.
That period.
Not.
Yeah, but other than her, like there was a clear story for Gabler. Although the Gabler one really only came up at the merge. Marianne had a clear story throughout. Jam Jam had a clear story throughout. D had a clear story throughout. So I feel like for the people who have no story at this point, unless it's like a Gabler or God forbid an Erica style edit, then I would disqualify them. I would disqualify.
So you're not on the Liz train. You're not on the Liz train.
Hey. Her story is that she has money. Okay.
You also need to be like you need your story to not be undercut. Like it can't go back and forth or like suddenly be proven untrue. Where I feel like even though Mariah was left out of the vote, the setup for the story is that she made these good connections with Jem, and they really like Maria. And I feel like her connection to Maria is what like saved her from She wasn't the person voted out, even though the guys stuck together and pulled in Maria. She was able to be saved by her relationship with Maria, and obviously Jem also played badly. But she voted with Jem. Like it's not been disproven that she made these good connections just because she was left out of the vote.
Yeah. And I also think that Maria's a very clear, like, Maria's a very conventional winner's edit of we just see how great she is at the game. Like...
Yeah, then, you know. Maria at this point I think could be like we'll need to see like how these next episodes go. Obviously she's someone I could see being the like big person that needs to be taken, the dragon that needs to be slayed potentially, because with her and like her and Charlie and like this big, they made this like monumental decision in this episode. That's something I could see for Maria as being this like person who needs the person needs to be taken out in a big big but respectful blindside because she's so good. You know, we get the really dramatic music, everyone's sad about it, but like everyone, you know, that's where I could see her story going at this point.
Yeah,
which is sad.
And just to undercut myself, I think that Ben has also been a little one note music pun.
Yeah.
It is all music stuff primarily. I feel like we got a little more in this episode, but he's kind of been a cartoon character rather than like an actual person so far.
Yeah.
That's the same issue with Charlie, by the way, with the Taylor Swift thing. I feel like we hear so much from him, but we haven't really like we've gotten to know him personality wise. We've gotten, and he's not the kind of guy that has this like tragic backstory that they can flash back on, right? So I think Charlie is actually a pretty viable. I think those four are really standing out to me, along with, I'd say, Tevin and Hunter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I'm kind of out on, I was already kind of like not feeling Hunter just because it's like, it's veering to Golden Boy for me at this point in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was feeling Tevin and I'm still like, I still like feel like he's way up there, obviously. But I just feel like he's gone a little quiet and I feel like it's maybe his story's been a little too wrapped up into the like just Nami dynamics, not like what is my game going to look like. It's more like what is my game right now in this moment with these specific people. And I find that a little worrying for Tevin's chances. I don't know. Something about Nami, just it's like, I don't really see it for any of them.
I feel like Venus and Liz, if I had to choose two people who are going to be like in the final three.
Yes.
those two really stand out to me as like.
Liz is there. I don't see, like, Liz is there. There's a seat reserved for Liz at Final Tribal Council.
Your lips to God's ears. Yes, I'm so ready for it. She is everything to me. And
Venus, I don't know. Did you guys watch Survivor South Africa 8 or Survivor South Africa 7?
Was it the one where Immunity Island or whatever?
It was either Immunity Island or Island of Secrets.
I watched Immunity Island. Who was on that? Which season are you referring to? Name a person.
It was the Jock was on that one.
I did not watch that one. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Venus reminds me a lot of the runner-up on that season.
Mm.
A mother.
Just. Yeah, I think many would consider so.
I love that. many mothers on this on the one I think Christina and I are referring to.
Yes, Samsony, if you're out there, I think she still follows me on Twitter. Come on the pod.
And why are we all discounting Yanu? What is it that Yanu doesn't have, despite the fact that we've seen?
I mean, last week I brought up that some like my edgic thought last week was about, because we made a big stink about the way they like rewrote what would have happened if Randan wasn't medevaced. And that to me was like the one thing I could grab onto of like, if it's Kenzie, that's her Erica Lulu moment. Then like,
yeah,
but she is going to be a threat and like turn on Yanu. But I don't know. Again, it's like we would have seen so much. It's really hard to tell like if anyone on Yanu is a genuine winner contender because we had to see so much of them. Mm-hmm. It's again, we had to see them.
For me, it's number one. If the winner was on Yanu, I don't think they come off as negative in like specifically the Jess boot and some parts of Bono. I think that they just they change how that story is being told. And number two, I think that if the winner was one of these three, we are not being told their entire story through the lens of Bono.
Yes,
like we are being told.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
The story through the lens of the Alliance.
I definitely think that they've been too negative. I think that they, especially the scene right after they vote out Bono, is like they just talk
like dunking on him. Yeah,
they don't show the winner. I feel personally they don't show the winners talking about other people in the way that they show them talking about Bono and Jess. Like they're just like, we couldn't play with him and like teach him how to play. Like I don't think that they like love seeing people act like they understand the game way better or like in a different way better than everybody else.
Yeah, like very Jesse of like him saying like I'm the only one out here with like trying to win stuff like that. It's I think we talked about that before. It's like if they don't want the winner to seem judgmental, they can be kind of villainous. They can like steal rice from Jake, Golden Boy Jake, and that's okay.
I think Dean actually had some pretty judgmental cutting remarks.
She did. Yeah, she did. But
she can do no wrong. So.
But
it was specifically with Jay Maya, I remember.
Oh, that's fair. Mm-hmm.
They were talking about Jay Maya.
So. I'd have to review the transcript to.
That doesn't sound like
deliver a verdict on mother.
Yes. And then we talked about this last week, but the thing where Jeff was like, and there's someone here who's not going to get along with everyone else. And it like, they cut to Kenzie. I just feel like that's really bad for her. And then compare that with Ben's edit, where the edit for Ben is that everybody loves him and everybody in the world will just instantly get along with him. I'm kind of like, that would be good for him.
Ben just gives me such Christian vibes. That's where I don't see him winning. I feel like he's the fan favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally see him hear it and fair. Fan.
Yeah, but he'd be really fun. It'd be really fun to see him.
Yeah. What about final shot in the intro theory or in the preview theory?
But that was Jem.
No, in the
oh, in the preview.
Oh, she was the final person in the preview. No. I thought it was Tiffany.
Yeah, Jem was the final person leading into the intro and the premiere. Never mind. That was also Dee's thing. So I got confused. But I don't.
Like, Gabler was the last face they showed, even though they didn't even know Gabler was going to win at that time.
Well, I definitely think that Tiffany has the most likelihood of winning of the three.
Yeah, honestly.
I just don't see it.
Right.
I'd love it. It'd be really fun if she won.
Tiffany would be a great winner. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the Yanu, like we said, it's just like they edit that tribe so differently. I mean, we already saw like what happens if a trio makes it to merge and like manages to weasel their way through. Like, we know what that story looks like. And it's like they're not telling it in that way. So yeah. I just feel like it's there for our green girlies. I feel it in my bones. That's it.
What about who's going home next?
Oh, what's Jesus. Well, for doing merchatory, I like Christine's, I guess, like rule or theorem of like, it's always like a consensus person, like someone that's like been shown to be like, we would understand like pretty implicitly, even if we didn't see like the whole episode, like why that person went home. Mm-hmm. So I could see it being a Venus. Honestly, I mean, I don't know. Kinsey would be almost like a little too like old school cliche first merge boot of like big social threat. I feel like that's like not really the story they go with the mergatory anymore.
But like I feel like I was about to say it might be Kenzie, because if this threat alliance links up, I feel like Q is the person who has the clearest target. I mean, Hunter might choose Venus, but I feel like Venus is willing to like throw other people under the bus like really easily. And so I don't know. I feel like she would survive and it might be Kenzie to me. Like, I don't think that Hunter necessarily, like, needs Venus out right away, but Q really wants Kenzie out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking Soda, honestly.
I think it's Anami, and I'm, like, more and more thinking it's gonna be, like, potentially come down to, like, Soda versus Venus. Like, I think we could see the two, like, target. Again, this all depends on who the fuck is on which tribe for the split. So this is, like, if the numbers work out this way...
one of them
is directing the vote towards the other.
Yeah, in a very Ellie targeting Gabler all pre-merge, needing to get him out, and then the moment that Gabler's free, he's like, "Well, I want her out." I could see Venus doing the same thing with Soda.
Yeah, absolutely. Either they're both vulnerable, or like suddenly, like all this energy has been spent on trying to get Venus out, and then Venus is safe. What now?
Yeah,
they're having the mother off.
Your Honor.
Yeah, I would hate to see it, but I can see the Soda. The Soda has got to go to thingy, like coming to a head at the mergatory. And I would hate
we'll never see that again. Yeah. I think that's going away, and that didn't really happen.
So I feel like there's lots of options. I just feel like we've got our little crew here that we can see making it further. It's like Charlie and Maria, I don't think are going anywhere. I think like the Denise Malcolm stuff is like very... like they're in it for the long haul, regardless of whether either one of them wins or not. It's just like, that's pretty important.
They're in lockstep and they're solving.
Yeah. I could see Maria killing him.
I would love that. And
like
him.
In like a, like actually like how like him. The mama bear has to like eat the babies.
Oh, over.
You're accusing her of smotherhood.
I am. I think that's the story we're being built with. We're seeing Maria be like the cutthroat one. Of the duo.
That's fair. So, yeah. Oh, our poor sweet Charlie. That would make me sad. He's really grown on me despite, his one big flaw that we've covered. Yeah.
Being from the Boston area. Yes. Zach, thank you so much for being on the show. This was a lovely time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
This is amazing. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to our patrons. Thank you. Survivor 46 for being nice to us.
our shooters on the cast.
Our angels, our guardian angels, protecting us from the wrath. And yeah, we'll see you all next week for hopefully an episode that Sam approves of. Bye.
Who knows?